Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So if my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to take because I am a thief. Of every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is Reverend Ray. Amen. We're broadcasting live. This is a live broadcast, of course. This is the Bread of Life on What Christians Speak Talk Radio. We're going to try a couple of things just to make sure everything is working according to plan. And it looked like it is. So I just want to welcome you to What Christians Speak Talk Radio. And today we're going to talk about some different things. We're going to talk about a season of dry bones. I definitely have a word that was, for me, I've been looking at this word probably for the last couple of days. So we're going to see what God says. Amen. So be patient with me. Stay tuned and everything like that. In fact, we can go ahead and get started. We don't want to take a lot of time. We're not going to do an announcement or nothing like that. But just have prayer with me, okay? I do see some callers just calling in right now. For everyone that's calling in, thank you for calling in. Please share this broadcast on social media, or they can call in at 646-478-0660. Amen. So, Father God, we come today the first to give you thanks. Thank you for your many blessings and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for bringing us a mighty long way, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for watching over us when we slept last night, when we woke up this morning, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having mercy and showing us grace to us, God. Today, God, we give this broadcast to you and pray that you, Holy Spirit, would have your way. You come and you set the atmosphere. You speak, Holy Spirit. No one can do it but you. No one can do the things that you do. No one can bring forth healing. No one can bring forth breakthroughs. No one can restore hope. No one can save. No one can bring salvation unless you do it. So, again, we say thank you in advance for this broadcast and for those that are listening in. Amen and amen. Like I said, we want to go ahead and get started. And first, I want to go ahead and read, coming from Ezekiel chapter 37. Amen. Just bear with me for just a few minutes while we make sure we got that turned in our Bible. And also, and this is what's going on with Ezekiel right now in chapter verse 37, verse 1. It says that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which were full of bones. He said that it was full of bones. I don't know whether I had posted a picture as one of, part of our theme about what it must have looked like to Ezekiel, that a valley that was full of bones. Okay, so let me continue to read on. It says, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said, no, they were very dry. And let me just talk just a little bit about what Ezekiel saw at this point. At this point, he's seeing that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, has put him in a place full of many bones. Okay, a lot of bones all over the place. And they wasn't just bones, but they were dry bones. Dry means that they were brittle. Dry mean that they had been there for a while. Dry meaning that they was in a place that that nobody had thought to dig graves and put them in tombs and all that kind of stuff. They have been there for a long time. And verse 3 said, and he said it to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Now, one of the things that I thought about when I began to read this, that God already knew the answer to it, whether they can live or not. But Ezekiel didn't want to, didn't know, but he knew that with God, there's nothing impossible. And one of the things that we have to understand about that verse 3 right here is that God wasn't really asking Ezekiel the question, can he live or not? He knew the answer to that. But the question, in so many words, was, do you have faith that these bones can live again? He said, she said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. The Lord God. So sometimes in our cases and our places that we are in, and keep in mind this valley of dry bones represented the children of Israel, the Jewish state, and where they were at that particular time. They were dry. There was nothing on them. They had was in a hopeless state. There was they had given up. They was beyond being goat hope in their own eyesight. Their nation was gone and everything. There was nothing there, you know. There was just dry bones, you know, in a valley at that. In a valley at that, not a desert. You would expect to see dry bones in a desert place, but this was in a valley. But let me read that scripture again, then we'll go to verse 4. It says, and he said it to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And I believe that's what God is saying to us today. The word prophesy also means to preach upon these bones, you know, to to speak. If someone had saw Ezekiel at that time, he's talking to the bones and everything, you know, they might have thought that something was wrong with him, you know. And for us, that means that sometimes we have to do things that when people or the world or even children or saints of God look at us while we're doing this thing, they say to themselves that, what is wrong with him? Why is he speaking to something that's not alive? But the one thing that I like about this particular, one of the things I like about that Ezekiel was obedient. It says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How does that reflect us today? Amen. In the day and time that we live in now, some of us are going through a dry bone experience. Some of us are going through a period of time when everything has been taken away from us. Some of us going through that we're suffering, loss and hurt and loss of job and the virus and all these different things that are going through. But yet, even in the midst of this, God is still speaking to us. That's why we got to continue to believe and have faith. And say, can these dry bones live again? Can I be restored? And the answer to that question is yes. Amen. And the answer to the question is yes. Verse 5 says, and thus saith the Lord God unto thee, bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Oh, my. So that's a promise that God is speaking to something that is no longer have life in it. They're speaking to something that is very, very dry, that is very brittle. Maybe you're going to do that situation or that place now, but God is saying to you, he said, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. The ye shall live. What the enemy has meant for evil, y'all. In other words, God has said, I'm going to turn it around for your good. But the enemy have tried to destroy you and take your credibility away and cause you much pain and everything to the point that you, in their eyesight, even in your own eyesight, you have become nothing. God will restore those things back unto you. Let's go on. I want to get through reading this, amen, because I want to talk about this a little bit more in detail. It says in verse 6, it says, I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. See, God does everything for a purpose and for a reason. The sinew means that he's going to put the muscles back on you. He can put the muscles back on those dry bones. He said, I'm going to not only put the muscles back on it, but I'm also going to put some flesh on it. you know, and then I'm going to cover you with skin. Everything that God does is done with a purpose. And then I'm going to put breath in you, and then you should live. You should live, and you should know that I'm the Lord of God. You know, the times and the seasons that things have taken place in our life, and we know that it was nobody but God that did it. You know, I can truly testify of that, the things that have taken place in my life, that I know that it was nobody but God. Nobody but God that delivered me. Nobody, no man or a woman can take credit for what took place. You know, no pastor or apostle can take credit. No doctor or lawyer can take credit, because it was nobody God, but God. And when we know that God did it, man, our attitude and everything that we are is totally different, because we begin to worship the one true God. We begin to give him honor and to give him praise. We begin to glorify the name of Jesus. Amen. And so verse 7, Ezekiel 37, 7 says, so Ezekiel is beginning to prophesy. He says, so I prophesied as I was what? Commanded. He said, I prophesied as I was commanded. In other words, I was obedient to what God told me to do. I know, again, it might have seemed crazy if someone was looking on, but I prophesied and I was obedient. We're living in a season that we have to be obedient to the command of the Holy Spirit, to what God is saying for us to do. And as I prophesied, this is what Ezekiel said. He said, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. He said, there was a noise and a shaking. But you know, when we begin to be obedient to the things that God has called us to do, and even regardless whether it looks right or sounds right, but there's going to be a noise, and there's going to be a shaking to take place, even while we are yet prophesying, because things begin to happen when God says so. Things begin to change when God commanded things to be so and everything, because it's his word that has gone forth, and it was not coming back unto him void. He said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together. And part of like about the end of that, it said, bone to his bone. Amen. The leg bone wasn't connected to the leg bone. No, it was bone to the is bone. Now, everything God does is good. All that God created was good. Bone to his bone. Nothing was out of order. Everything was in the order. It was in the in the place it was supposed to be. It wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for? It wasn't out of order. That's not the word, but it'll come to me. And verse 8 says, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews, which is again is the muscles, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Why was there no breath in them? Because the word of the Lord had not come completely past yet. It was not over, y'all. Some of us are going through some things in life and right now, and it's not over. We have not been completed. It's not the finished work. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. But here in this book of Ezekiel, the word was not finished yet. God is not finished with you yet. We have to tell ourselves that the song, I think it was by James Cleveland back in the day, it said, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. That needs to be said not only up to others to say this. We should say that to others concerning ourselves, but we have to tell ourselves. I remember, again, this is a testimony. And for myself, I used to tell my people that were close to me, God is not finished with me yet. As I begin to go through some things, he was beginning to mold me and beginning to make me. He was beginning in the process of my going through to cut away dead things. He was beginning to chisel away as a potter is in the master's hand, things that shouldn't be there. There was a purpose and there was a plan that God had in store for me and stuff like that God had in store for me. Amen. The God had restored me, but I wasn't complete yet. I couldn't breathe. There was no breath in me. There's no breath in you until God brings forth the breath. I'm going to tell you something else about the scripture, like, because it reminds me of the day of the Pentecost. Amen. It says, then said he unto me, prophesy into the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Now, this is the first time that what they represents what those bones are. These are the bones of those that had been slain. You know, these wasn't just people that just died, but they had been slain, you know, and stuff. It's important that we understand these things. They had been killed. And you got to understand, why was Ezekiel prophesying this at this point? Because the children of Israel had disobeyed God. And they was caught into captivity and everything. And the nation of Israel was made no more because they went into Babylon. And God told them there to go ahead and build houses and marry your sons and daughter and eat thereof and everything. and be obedient, in other words, be obedient to the city laws or whatever. Because you're going to be there for a while. He said again, he said, prophesy to the wind, prophesy to the man, and say to the wind, thus said the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may do what? That they may live. Y'all, we can live. We can look and live, my brother. You know, we can live because of Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. We can live now. He's talking to the believers. He's talking to the church. Let me read on. We're almost finished, I promise. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Don't you realize that when God says the things, that it would come to pass? But it would not only come to pass. You'll see it's exceeding. It's exceeding great armor. All that God does for us, y'all, that even though we might not be able to see it, because whether it be lack of faith or whether it be lack of vision, God, it does it exceedingly abundantly so. He said, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And this is what I believe that was happening within the Christian world today, that God has built an army out of dry bones. You know, because of Jesus Christ, he had built an army because of dry bones. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. In other words, he's given them an identity. You know, before we didn't know who the dry bones, but in other words, he's given them an identity. You know, the house of Israel meant that they was God's chosen people. I'm looking at you today and I hope that you are God's chosen generation. You are the Jew that God was talking about. You are a Jew. Yes, you are. You have accepted Jesus Christ in your Lord and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. I'm not talking about being from the country of the Israelite state or the Jewish state, but I'm talking about Jew being connected with God because of the promises of God and because of the promise that he made with Abraham, that his seed would be great. You are the outcome of the promises of Abraham. You're the outcome of the death, of the birth, death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And behold, they say, our bones are dried. And here it is, our hope is lost. And we are cut off for our parts. We are, in other words, they saw themselves as being separated from themselves. Then again, they brought this unto themselves with sin, and they were slain by an unrighteous army. But even in the midst of them, of being like that, or us being like that, of bringing things on ourselves, of going through trials and tribulation, God's promises that I'm going to restore. Okay? I'm going to restore. He says that we are cut off from all our parts. You know, all those things that connected us are separate. We're not even in the same land that we started off with. We're not in the land that was of milk and honey that God had promised. We're no longer there, but we are in captivity. In fact, we can't even sing the song right now that we used to sing because we are in captivity. But there was a promise that it won't last. Everything has a season. Everything has a time and a season, y'all. Then even in the midst of our mess, even in the midst of our trials, and even in the midst of our tribulation, that there is a season of the dry bones. Truly, this is not about one particular country, because I know many have been looking upon her or have read about how this ties in to the new state of Israel that took place, I think, back in 1963 or 37 and all, whatever. No, this is beyond even that. Okay, this is not about any particular nation. This is about all of those that are called by his name, that have humbled ourselves, that have ceased from sin and seek his ways. This is about messages about them. Amen. This message is about him. Then it says, therefore prophesy and say unto them, verse 12, thus said the Lord God, behold, O my people, he's talking to me and to you. I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land. I will open your graves. He said, I'm gonna cause you to come out of your grave. I'm gonna cause you to come out of your grave. One more time, I'm gonna cause you to come out of your dead places, the places that you have been buried, the places of broken promises, the places of regret. He said, I'm gonna bring you to the land of Israel. I'm gonna bring you into himself, the land of promise. I'm gonna bring you into himself. You know, I'm going to bring you into a relationship with me and stuff, to the point that you'll be able to walk with me in the cool of the day. I'm going to create a new nation with you. I'm creating a new nation within you. Yes, he is. He said, into the land of Israel, into the land of promise. That's what he did. And in verse 13 says, and you should know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. He said, oh, my God. He said, you should know. When we know that God, again, I go back to what I said before. When we know that God did something for us and was nobody else, when you know that he spared your life when you should have been dead, you know that when you died and the doctors or the lawyers or your family had given up on you, then you know that when you put that drugs in your arm, you know when you sinned before God, and you know that when you turned left, when God told you to turn right, you know when you said some things that you shouldn't have said, you know when you talked too much. And everything in the beginning, he said, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your grave, you should know that I am the Lord their God. You know, we should know that many of us that are walking miracles and testimonies of what God has done in our life. We should have been dead a long time ago, But God said, not today, not so. This ain't your season to die. You should live and not die. God has spoken that into our life, that we should live and not die. He said, verse 14 says, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, say the Lord. You're going to know it without a shadow of a doubt. I used to love those old saints of God, that when they worship God in the spirit and in the truth, they knew without a shadow of a doubt. Nobody had to tell them. We should be in a place of getting through. Nobody got to tell us about Jesus. I found out about Jesus, about myself. No one should have to tell you who he is. You had a personal experience with him. You had a Damascus road experience with him, and it changed your life. You once was blind, but now you see. You had Damascus road experience with him. You once was sick, and now you hear. You had a Damascus road experience with him, and it changed your life. It changed your life. He said, I shall place you in your own land. In other words, you're going to be in a place. We have to be in a place that everything that's around it will represent who God is. They worship God and everything. We have to be in a place sometimes, and I'm talking to myself, Ray, but you have to be in a place, bro, that sometimes that when we get like in a certain way or certain type of things are attacked, whether it's manifold temptation or manifold attacks against the body and against the spirit, that we remember who we are, that we remember just who we are. And then and then go read that, Ezekiel 37:14. It says, "Shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it," said the Lord. And amen. How the Lord has spoken it, says the Lord. Now, I want to just talk a little bit. We got one more chapter I want to go over real quick, and we're going to get on out of here. Amen. We're going to get out of here. Amen. The first one comes from Joel chapter 1, verse 4. And this is what it's called. Let me read from 1 through 4 that we can get an idea of what I'm talking about, okay? It says, this Joel chapter 1, verses 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Have this been in your days, or even in the days of your father? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their grandchildren, and their children another generation. That which the palm worm have left, have the locusts eaten. Again, we're talking about a place, a destitute. And that which the locusts have left, have the cankerworm eaten. And that's what the cankerworm have left, have the caterpillar has eaten. It says, awake, one more verse. It says, awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. The rest of Joel chapter 1 talks about things that have been cut off and everything because of the people and their disobedience. Okay? The people and their disobedience, they were cut off. They were, in other words, they were dry. There was nothing left within them and everything. But I just finished reading in Ezekiel that God said he's going to restore all of this. And the scripture that I'm going to right now is coming from Joel chapter 2, verses 25. And this is what it says. And this is true for even for us today. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I set among you. He said, I'm going to restore y'all. I'm going to restore. Okay, now restoration don't mean that you're not going to have continue to have trials and tribulation. It doesn't mean that the world changed, but you changed. Because truly we are living in the last days. Everything that we're seeing, everything has been prophesied in the scriptures about how men will become lovers of their own flesh. And let me read on. Verse 26 says, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that have dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Don't you realize this is just taking place now? We shall eat. We can eat plentifully. Wondrously, you know, and we can be able to praise the name of God. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am in the midst of my promise. God is in the midst of his covenant that he has cut with you. And his covenant will never be void. He said that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people should never be ashamed. Again, he said that my people would never be ashamed. Be ashamed meaning to hold their head there. Be ashamed meaning that they don't want to be seen because the place they are in is destitute. They're being in a place meaning that they have lost all hope. But he's saying to right here, even in Joel, that you should never be ashamed. And then verse 28 says, and it should come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever y'all shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord have said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. In the remnant whom the Lord shall call. The promise is that this might be a season of dry bones for you or for someone you know. It's only a season. It only lasts for a little while and stuff like that. But hold on to God. Hold on to the promises of yea and amen. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel and stuff like that. It's easy sometimes when we're going through trials and tribulations to just throw in the towel. You're just going to give up. You know, just want to give up. sometimes it's easy to be in a place of being disenfranchised, of host hopelessness and everything. It's easy. Those things is been hopeless. You just don't know what else to do. I don't know whether you ever experienced that before, where you just like at a loss for words. You can't talk. People don't want you to tell about it and say, explain how you feel, but there's no words to explain what is going on. Oh, the best that you could utter out of your mouth is a groan, or it's a moan, or it's a weeping. You know, it's that's the best that you do with stuff like that. It's so deep, and the pain is so deep that it's come from the essence of your belly. You know, it comes from that part that only one that will be able to understand what you may be facing, that your dry bone experience is the Holy Spirit. The only one that will be able to fix it is God. The only one that will be able to fix it is God. The only one to be able to fix it. One writer said that, why did God ask Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said the things in your life, whatever they may be, can be restored and new life can breathe into them. What I love about this passage is that God asked Ezekiel if the bones can be restored. He is essentially asking him if he had faith. I want to report in him, in God, for these bones to be restored. Do you have faith in God? Do you have the faith the size of a mustard seed in God? You don't necessarily talk for great faith, because if you ever seen a mustard seed up close, and for me, I need glasses to be able to see it. I don't know what choice experience is, but we need faith like that, mustard seed type faith, you know. And everything. Another thing that one writer says, that the bones symbolize the indestructible life. It represents resurrection in the Jewish tradition, yet it also may represent mortality and transitory. I'm saying that wrong, but transitory and everything. It must represent all that. But see, that's the place that man look at. They look at the hopeless state. You know, one of the things I was reading when I was researching for this sermon tonight, or for this teaching, I read about the different nations that are no more. You know, nations are not guaranteed to last forever. Even nations, even relive in the United States, is only for a season. And when that season is over, a new nation will be birthed and everything like that. But with the God that we serve, and God's selected people, the God that has chosen us, the God that has called us and everything, we are forever within him. You know, we are forever in him. It's a come one day for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve God. So my prayer today for you, no matter what you may be facing and everything, look at this season, and then no matter how brittle the bones might be, no matter how hopeless, and they might be scattered all over the place, and everybody, including your family, may have given up on you, and the doctors may have sent in the priest, as they do in the hospital, to read your last rites, and all that kind of stuff. But I hope it's built in nothing less but Jesus Christ. He's our solid rock, y'all. And he's the one that we depend on. I know people that are going through much travail, much crying, and much weeping. I know in different countries, because our broadcast is international, that are going through many things. Some of them I get a chance to talk to and encourage them. They're Christians that are being persecuted more than we could even ever imagine and everything like that. They're being killed for the name of, they've been thrown in jail for the name of Jesus Christ. They've been in jail. They're being persecuted and everything. I don't think that we have seen the worst of things to come past, because I believe that as believers, the more that you believe in Jesus Christ, the more that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the more that you're going to be persecuted, the more trials and tribulation is going to come your way, the more the enemy is going to do their best to try to destroy you, the more that you will no doubt fall down. Some of us will fall down. The scripture says that all have come short of the glory of God. But God, I'm proving it to you right here in the talk about it, but God is a restorer. The scripture says that he's married even to the backslider. He's married even to the backslider, y'all. Amen. I'm done. That's all I got. And I just want to thank you for listening. Amen. And I hope that it was a blessing to you and everything. And please, by all means, share this on social media. Amen. This is a word for the people of God. I don't know what tomorrow holds, okay, within the world. There is so much that is going on all around us, man. It really is. It's just, I mean, everything you turn around, whether it's global warming, whether there's wars and rumors of wars, whether there's viruses, or whether it's politics. I mean, men have definitely become more lovers of their own flesh. They seek their own thing. You know, love has just completely changed. Our idea of love is not the same and everything. But yet God's love for us has not changed. God's love for us has not changed. So there's all kinds of things going on. And the scripture said that we should stand in the holy place and look up because our redemption is now. Jesus is soon to come. Jesus is soon to come. The hand is writing on the wall. It's sound of the oneness of being sound loud and abroad, not just in Mother Nature or just in the earth, but all around us. People are having dreams and visions of the coming of the Lord. Jesus is soon to come. Time is running out. Time is running out. Can these dry bones live? Lord, you know it, but I have faith that they shall live and not die. I have faith, God, that you will bring these dry bones back to life again. I have faith in you. And my prayer is that we begin to speak the same language. We stop this bickering back and forth over what's not really important. You know, we stop all of this, all that kind of stuff, and seek after the true nature of Christ. You know, seek him. You know, stop all this other stuff, all this division with religion and this with Christianity, with this or this person serving like this. Or they, you know, stop all of that and come into a place of holiness before our God, before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying to us today. Come into that. Live holy. Be holy because he's holy. You can't do it within yourself, but the Holy Spirit can. And if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because there may be someone that, listen, it's free. It's free. He died for every single last one of us. All you got to do is confess with your heart, or confess with your mouth, and believe in your heart. And the same shall believe. I can't see your heart, but God can. And then ask for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell for you. It's there for you. It's a request. It's much needed in this day and time. And then also find a Bible-believing, discipleship-loving church. That won't use you for the dollars that put money in anything like that. But you'll be willing to do it willingly because you love God. That you can be disciple, so you can disciple someone else, so that you can show someone else a more excellent way of Jesus Christ. Find a place like that. Find a church like that. It don't necessarily have to be a building per se, but believers of one like mind that will intercede on your behalf, you know, that you'll be able to trust, you know, and believe in, not because of that what's in front of their name, whether it's doctor or reverend, apostle or bishop, but because of the Spirit of God that dwells in them. Because everything that we do when it comes to us as believers is spirit to spirit, my spirit to spirit. It has to be tied together and grafted and together through the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm done. Again, I want to thank you for your time. Let me just go ahead and pray out. Father God, I thank you for this message. I pray that it has been a blessing to somebody, God. I pray that someone would cry out, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life around, God? I pray, God, that we as believers begin to wake up and realize the season and the time that we're living in today, God. I pray, God, that we might come together in unity, God, and just pray in season and out of season, that we might preach the gospel, Lord Jesus, to all the ends of the earth, God, that we would not be afraid, that we would not be ashamed, God, and we would not be afraid of the faces that present themselves that our enemy, God, but that we, Lord Jesus, would stand still and see the salvation of you. We would see and understand that we serve a mighty Father, that we serve a mighty Son, God, and we would thank you in advance for every trial and every tribulation that we go through. We would thank you in advance for every healing and deliverance that would take place, God, for every breakthrough, God. We would go into our private prayers, God. You know the private prayers of your people, God, like no one else. You understand the moaning and the groaning that is going on within them, like that even they don't understand. So, God, we pray that today that you would tap them on their shoulder and remind them that you're right there, that you promised to never leave them nor forsake them, Lord Jesus. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would put a ring on their finger, God, and a robe upon their shoulder and a crown upon their head, that even the enemy might see that they have been selected. They have been elected. They have been chosen for such a time as this. We pray, God, that they might go forth, God. And whether it's to write books or maybe it's to write songs, maybe it's to teach or to sing or whatever the calling is in their life, that they would no longer straddle the fence, but go forth, God, that they would slack not that rather, but press forward in you and be obedient to the calling that's on their life, God. But truly time is running out, Lord Jesus. We pray for every pastor, every apostle, every bishop, every prophet, every teacher, every elder, every minister, every musician, even the doorkeeper, for those that are in leadership, God. We lift them up name by name, soul by soul, spirit by spirit to you. That you, God, will bring them, those that are not, back into a right relationship to you, Lord Jesus, that you will forgive those that have done wrong to your people, God, and they will see a new light. They will give them a new opportunity to do what is right in your sight, God, and then you, Lord Jesus, will protect the people, God, from those wolves in sheep clothing, God, that you will begin to even continue to even expose the wolves in sheep clothing, God, for your people need you today. We can't do this by ourselves, Lord. We need you, Holy Spirit. Come with all your might and your glory. You set the atmosphere. You set the atmosphere and not just have a church as normal, God, but we want a different shift in you, Lord Jesus. We want a different shift in you, even to the point, God, that you just mess some of us up completely. That even messing us up or sending things our way, God, would cause us to bow before you and lay prostrate to God. We pray that that would take place. We pray that it doesn't take us out, but it gives us an opportunity to repent of anything and everything we may have said, a deed and actions and thought and a word that was not pleasing to you, God. We know, Lord Jesus, you have given all things under the cross, Lord Jesus. So now, Lord Jesus, today, we will hold on to the horn of salvation and won't let go until you bless us. We won't let go, Lord Jesus, until we know without a shadow of a doubt that you did it and that our name has been changed. We won't let go of you, Lord Jesus, until we know without a shadow of a doubt, God, that we are ready to go forth and speak the oracles and the mysteries of your gospel, God, the allegories, God. We won't let go, Lord Jesus, but we will hold on with all that within us, for we know that you will hold on to us. But even when we get down to our very last, you are still with us always. We do pray this prayer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Again, I want to thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been The Bread of Life. My name is Reverend Ray. Amen. A season of dry bones. Amen. The scriptures I use is coming out of Joel chapter 1 and chapter 2, and also Ezekiel chapter 37. Please read at your own time and everything, because you might get some more revelation. That's one thing I like about the Word of God. There's always something that we can read the Word over and over and over, but there's still more juice in it. You know, there's still more juice. There's still more word there that we missed out. Amen. So be a blessing. Know that I love you and God bless you. And this is Reverend Ray signing out. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. God bless you. Amen.